Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 13. Also, our theme verse is Proverbs 25:19. In a series of messages about a devoted life, I know it's the first of the year. Many of us has made a commitment to be faithful and to have a devoted life, and it's our prayer that we will remain faithful. And that's what the message in this series is about this morning, is remaining faithful, continuing to be devoted, persevering in the faith with a devoted life. Our theme verse, I know you just sat down. It's amazing how Baptists, when prayer, we sit down. I'm going to ask you to stand back up, if you will. At least for our theme verse this morning, we're going to read a lot of scripture. You know, that's any message from the Word of God should be based on scripture. And I hope that we are never tired of scripture. A lot of times we treat it like the reading of the Constitution there in Congress. There was lots of empty seats when Congress opened up by reading the Constitution of the United States of America. All those seats should have been filled, and it should have been a good time for our nation to read the Constitution. But let's not, as the church, get tired of God's Word. Amen? Let's stay with God's Word. And Proverbs 25, verse 19, our theme verse, says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." Everyone say, "Ouch." That hurts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. And God, as your church, the called out ones, the born again believers, Lord, we ask help from you to remain faithful, to have a devoted life, Lord, before you, to live godly in this present age. And Lord, may it all be for the praise of your glory, as we sung a song that all of heaven will sing in eternity. We bow down and cast our crowns at your feet and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. A devoted life. Being faithful. And as we preached a message last Sunday on this proverb, we realize that when you place confidence in an unfaithful person, it's like a broken tooth. And with a broken tooth, if you ever had one, I have, you cannot eat. You cannot sustain because you cannot eat because your mouth and tooth hurt so bad. So an unfaithful person, there's no substance with them. And a foot out of joint, if you ever had a sprained ankle, I have, you cannot put any pressure on it because it hurts too bad. And when you put pressure on an unfaithful and undevoted person, they can't take it. So they leave or quit, one of the two. So we, as God's people, we want to be counted on. Amen. In the church, we want the Lord Jesus to count on us and for us to remain faithful, to live godly in this life, to bring Him praise and glory, and that the world will know that we serve a true and living God who loves us and wants to have a relationship with them as He does with us. And we do that by living a faithful, devoted, godly life before them. Amen? And then when they ask us, "Well, tell me about what you have," then we have grounds to stand on to share our faith because of our faithful and devoted life. Now in 1 Kings 13, we have this marvelous story. It's an exciting story about a man of God. And let's begin reading now in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1, if you would follow along with me. "And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel, by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, and he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. By the way, look at my hand. Can you help me out? He's saying. So the man of God entreated the Lord. The king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, well, since I cannot arrest you, I'm going to make you my friend. He said, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. What a story. What a story we have here. Here we have Jeroboam. What's the background of Jeroboam? Well, it starts back with Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Solomon died, and Rehoboam, Solomon's son, took the throne. And the people came to Rehoboam and said, your father was harsh on us. He taxed us. He worked us. And we want a break. We want a break. Give us a break. So Rehoboam took counsel, which is a wise thing to take counsel. And he took counsel and he called the old advisors that Solomon had and he said, the people are saying this, what do you say to me? And those wise older men in the council said, if you will serve them this day, if you would humble yourself, that kind of goes with our Sunday school lesson, doesn't it? If you would humble yourself before the people today and give them a break, they will forever be yours. Rehoboam said, well, let me ask my other advisors, these men who are of my age, the younger, and see what they say. The younger men said, you go out there and you take charge. You go out there and you tell the people, my father whipped you with whips, but I'm going to use scorpions. Get back to work. So he took the counsel of the younger men, and he went out there, and the kingdom went in revolt. It was a civil war. And Rehoboam lost the kingdom. The kingdom split, and Rehoboam became in charge of Judah, where Jerusalem was. And then Jeroboam became in charge of the other tribes, the northern tribe. You know, that's a lesson for the church today, isn't it? You see, we need the wisdom of the old, but the energy of the young, don't we? We need both. We need both. Now, some older people can be foolish. If they don't believe God's word and trust God's word, then they're foolish. And some younger people can be wise beyond their years because they trust God and believe His Word. But in general, we need the young and the old in the church, do we not? We all need to be unified and serve the Lord together. But we see here that the kingdom divided, and thence Samaria becomes, that's when Samaria was birthed, the northern kingdom. And Jeroboam was over those northern kingdoms. And now Jeroboam was a pretty smart leader. You know why? He realized that people are religious. Did y'all know people were religious? He knew the people were religious and that they would go to Jerusalem each festival and each time of a holy day, and they would go to Jerusalem to worship the one true and living God, Jehovah, and then Rehoboam would turn their hearts back to him, and then they would kill Jeroboam. So he decided, I'm going to make a new religion. In this new religion, which the Samaria, that's why the Jewish people in Jesus' day wouldn't even walk through Samaria. They made their own religion, a religion of convenience. In other words, he set up worship centers in Bethel and Dan, two high places. He kind of took the page out of Exodus, but he didn't read all of Exodus. He just got the little blimp when Aaron made a golden calf. And Aaron said, well, I don't know what to do. All I can remember is those epesses, those Egyptian special bulls that they worshipped in. And he made that golden calf, and he did something drastic. In the Hebrew, he said, hear, O Israel, this is Jehovah, and presented them a golden calf. Everyone say, that's a no-no. Don't mix God in with paganistic stuff. He is holy. Holy, holy, holy. There is none beside Him. So Jeroboam took that page out and said, well, I'm going to make golden calves and make a religion of convenience. And instead of going to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, they will go to these high places of their own religion and making and worship there and worship these golden calves, and they we will pretend that that's God when we do it. A religion of convenience. You know what? Ever since then, that has not been a safe place in the world to be, has it? Here we have Judah, and then these northern tribes, which later became Samaria. Okay, now we come to our text. Here Jeroboam is offering up incense there at an altar, and here comes a man of God from the southern tribe. And he comes and prophesies a true prophecy, because Josiah, at the age of 8 years old, led a nation back to God. And he prophesied, and during this prophecy, it occurred, and when Jeroboam pointed at him, say, arrest him, his hand withered there in place. Wouldn't that be a problem? To go around in life with your finger pointed at everybody. And he said, hey, by the way, can you help me out here, man of God? The man of God prayed, and his hand was restored. Then he said, well, I cannot arrest you. I'm going to make a friend. I'm going to make you my friend. You see, the world, if they cannot push you down, then they'll try to be your friend. And the whole time, we as people of God should be a witness to every one of them. And this man of God was a witness in that by the word of the Lord, God told him, don't even eat there, don't drink, don't even go back the way you came. And he did it. That's a story. What a story. This man who stood in the gap and stood for God and even stood against a king and prophesied what God said. What a messenger. What a messenger. Let's read on. 1 Kings 13, verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. Can't you see his sons coming in and said, Daddy, you should have saw what happened. That old king's hand was withered and that man of God stood there and proclaimed God's word. You should have saw it. And their father said to them, Which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, Saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey on him and he rode on it. And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, Are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, Come home with me and eat bread. I want to be around you. I want to be with you. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord. You shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. And he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And he was, and we'll prove that in just a moment. He was a prophet. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with you to your house. That he may eat bread and drink water, he was lying to him. This prophet lied. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. What did God tell him? You see, not to do that. Now it happened, verse 20, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back, and he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, Eat no bread and drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. A man who stood for God and proclaimed a message from God was a hero that morning. All of heaven was applauding him. Was dead that night by a lion. By the way, we're in a spiritual battle. And our adversary is like a what? A roaring lion. And it was the judgment of God. You see, it was quite evident that it was a judgment of God because lions, when they kill something, they eat it. When they kill something, it's something that they know they can kill because it's dangerous for a lion to attack a donkey. All that donkey has to do is kick one good time and hit that lion right there and break his jaw, and that lion dies days later horribly. And when lions kill something, they do that dirty deed, and then they leave. They don't hang around. And then the donkey was there too. Any donkey that a lion is beside runs. So it was evident that this was the judgment of God on this man. for everyone who could see it, God's judgment. God's judgment was a hero, stood for God, was dead that night. What are some truths to help us to remain faithful? Number one, yesterday triumphs are no substitute for being faithful today. You might have had victories in the past. Remain faithful today. That morning, this man was a hero. By nighttime, he was dead in disobedience. How many teachers, servants in the church, pastors are not even in church today, yet God used them greatly in years past? Be faithful today. Be faithful today. Be devoted today. Be devoted tomorrow. Remain faithful next week. Number two, earnest desire is not a substitute for integrity before God. That old prophet, he wanted, his desire was to be with the man of God and to have fellowship with him, and his desire turned him into a liar. Earnest desire is not a substitute for integrity before God. Number three, sincerity is not a substitute for the simple obedience of the Word of God. That old prophet said, an angel came and spoke to me and said, this is what you ought to do. But the man of God, which we have also, what he had, we have God's Word. We have Scripture. That man of God had a word from the Lord directly from God. And we have something directly from God right here. That old prophet, though, said, an angel told me this. And the man of God, who was very sincere, disobeyed God's Word. Stay with God's Word. You may be sincere in all sorts of things, but if you're not trusting and believing God's Word, then it is not of God. You see, sometimes the super spiritual can be just as dangerous as a flat-out pagan. Unless the man of God should have said, well, let's wait here a minute and see if that same angel comes and talks to me because God told me this. Stay with God's Word. Be devoted. Be faithful. Stay with God's Word. Number four. Human confidence does not prevent the judgment of God. That old prophet was very confident. He was a prophet. He prophesied the truth here, that what the man of God prophesied would come to pass, and it did. Then he prophesied the word of the Lord. God's fixing to judge you because you disobeyed. He was confident, though. Just a little matter. It's just a little lie. It's just something little. It really won't affect anybody else, but his little lie cost a life. And what you may be dabbling in or playing around with, you may think it's just a little thing, but it is costing lives because you're not being faithful to Jesus. Don't hurt to miss out on this and miss out on that. I have a religion of convenience. When I have nothing else to do, then I'll go and worship God. Again, it's on my heart. What are we witnessing? Christianity is, if any man or person be in Christ, they are a new creation. But I see the church, churches in general, witnessing, you know, come be saved, come be a church member, and come and be a part of the Christianity that I am, and we'll go and party next weekend, we'll go do this and do that, and then we'll meet each other at church maybe next month when we don't have nothing else to do. Come and be a part of being a Christian like that. And folks, that is not Christianity. Christianity is the perseverance of the saints. It's remaining faithful. It's being godly in this life to bring Him praise and glory. What are we witnessing? Just a little matter. And it cost a life. Lives are at stake when we're not being faithful. Uzzah, during David's reign, when David was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, Uzzah, servant of David, obeying the king, doing what he was told. He thought it was just a little matter. He didn't want to see the ark fall off the cart. So just a little bit, he reached out to steady the ark of the Lord, and God struck him dead. Just a little matter. David thought it was just a little matter to step out on that balcony and just take a little look there at Bathsheba. Just a little matter. It turned him into an adulterer and a murderer. But just a little bit. Moses thought it was just a little matter to strike the rock with the rod. But he didn't enter the promised land because of it. See, human confidence. You may be very confident, but it does not prevent the judgment of God. When you disobey God's word, judgment is coming. Remain faithful. We sow, we reap what we sow. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. What's the application? It comes down to how you end. If your life ended today, you see that congresswoman yesterday, she didn't know her life was going to end. And her life ended just like that. It matters how you end. It's how you walk by faith. Is it a day-by-day walk of faith? You see, what you did years ago, that's all great. But how are you today? Are you faithful today? Are you walking by faith? Are you trusting God's Word? I know when I was a teenager, the TV evangelists was falling by the wayside, many of them. One of them that I liked dearly, Jimmy Swaggart, which he is a humble man and God's using today. But he just thought that it was a little matter and he was caught in sin and God brought judgment. And his ministry is nothing like it could have been today. And then we see faithful people of God. One of my favorite stories is the story of Polycarp. Polycarp was a centurion. In other words, he was over 100 years old when he was burned at the stake. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church, Smyrna. And when he was there being burned at the stake, this old saint of God, all he had to do was just a little matter and call Caesar master. Just a little matter. Caesar, you're my master. I'll bow down to you, but and we'll be okay. Just a small little matter. But if that man of God would have bowed to Caesar, what would have happened to all the people that was looking at him? He wouldn't bow to Caesar and call Caesar Lord of his life. He said, 86 years have I served the Lord. And not once has he let me down. How could I ever deny my Lord? That old man was burned at the stake. That's how to end. That's remaining faithful. Faithful. How are you going to end? It starts today. You might have been a powerhouse for God 10 years ago, but how are you today? Young people, it's a day by day living by faith, trusting in God. For you to be able to be a person like Polycarp and stand in the flames and not deny Jesus, you got to start today learning how to be faithful. learning how to be devoted. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? Is it a religion of convenience? Or is it a vital relationship and Jesus is your Lord and Master of all? What do you have today? Let's be devoted people. Amen? Let's be devoted. Let's pray. Lord, this world is full of pressures and troubles on every side, trials and temptations. And God, may we through Your strength take those pressures in stride and be faithful to the end. May we not cause pain to other people or to You because of our unfaithfulness. God, may You be able to count on us. The good news is that You're a God that forgives. You're a God that is long-suffering. And anyone today, whosoever will, can repent and turn to You. You promise there'll be a big party in heaven over it. We thank You for that assurance. We thank You for Your love. And that is what causes us to turn to You. So we praise You today. In Jesus' name, amen.